I am going to call this committee, this conference committee to order. It's May 11th, 2023, and it is approximately 3:05. Today, we have just one article that we will be reviewing, the READ Act, and I'm going to start by asking Senator May Quaid to make a motion to adopt the A23 amendment.
Madam Chair, so moved.
All right. Ms. Para, if you would you please take some time and walk through our READ Act spreadsheet? Oh, excuse me, the amendment.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Is that better? Sorry. Christina Para from House Research, and I can walk you through the amendment that's before you. The substance is largely the same as what both bodies brought into conference committee, so I'll highlight a little bit more of the differences. The Article 3, as it came into conference committee, had two sections from World's Best Workforce, taking literacy out of that so that it is streamlined into the literacy plan. Because those two sections are amended in a different part of the bill, those changes, you won't see them here. They'll be in a different part of the bill. So then the next thing that might look a little bit different is before the definitions, or a little bit further down in the article. It was renumbered here, so you'll see the definitions section. Is now Section 2, and that starts at 110. The definitions, though, are largely the same. One small change in the definition of literacy specialist, which is on line 2.7. It clarifies or it states that the literacy specialist employed by the department or by a district as a literacy lead is not required to complete the approved training before August 30th, 2025. Otherwise, the other terms in this section, such as evidence-based, fluency, foundational reading skills, literacy lead, reading comprehension, those are generally what the House was carrying into conference committee. The next section is Section 3 on page 3 of the amendment, starting at line 325. And that amends Section 120B12, currently reading proficiently no later than the end of grade 3, and that is now READ Act goal and interventions. So Subdivision 1 modifies the goal related to students reading at grade level. It requires districts to provide teachers access to training, and specifies the teachers that must receive that training by July 1, 2024, and other teachers by July 1, 2027. Subdivision 2 requires a district to screen every student enrolled in kindergarten through grade 3 with an approved screener. Subdivision 2A, which starts on page 6, requires the district to administer the screener within the first 6 weeks of the school year, and again within the last 6 weeks of the school year. And so that was in another place in the bill. You just see it there twice now. Subdivision 3, intervention, just slightly different on line 628. By the 2025-2026 school year, intervention programs must be taught by an intervention teacher or special education teacher who successfully completed evidence-based training approved by the department. Subdivision 4, starting on page 7, requires the district to provide training on evidence-based reading instruction to teachers and instructional staff in accordance with Subdivision 1, and it says what the training must include. Subdivision 4A, the local literacy plan, that's on page 8. On line 814, it states that it's every year, beginning in kindergarten, that the district just clarifies where the district is having to has every child reading at grade level. The components of the plan are largely the same. Number six just looks a little bit different. Says it's a curricula used by school site and grade level. Number eight on page nine requires the literacy plan to also include student data using the measures of foundational literacy skill and mastery identified by the department, and the list specified students that data must be submitted for. So students in kindergarten through grade three, students who demonstrate characteristics of dyslexia, and students in grade 4 to 12 identified as not reading at grade level. And then number nine is also a little different there. The plan must include the number of teachers and other staff that had completed the training approved by the department. Subdivision 5 is on the approved screeners, and again just adds there that the district has to administer the approved screeners according to section 120B123. Section 4, that's just a conforming change because 122A06 is a definition that's being repealed in the bill. Section 5 is the READ Act implementation, and that, again, is largely the same as what the two bodies brought into conference committee. Clarifies the annual literacy plan is by June 15th. Subdivision 2 is just a little different. It says the district must implement progress monitoring as defined in Section 120B1118 for student not reading at grade level. Coming into conference committee, that was an intervention plan. Subdivision 3 curriculum requires the district to use evidence-based curriculum and intervention materials at each grade level. And starting July 1, 2023, when a district purchases new literacy curriculum or literacy intervention or supplementary materials, the curriculum or materials must be evidence-based. Subdivision 4 is an encouragement to use the MTSS framework. Subdivision 5, the July on line 11.9, there's the deadlines for when districts must complete training. And the July 1, 2027 date is, I believe it's pushed, it's 1 year later than what was in that House bill coming into conference committee. Subdivision 6 requires districts to employ a literacy lead. Subdivision 7 is the department's duties under the READ Act. And these include making available to districts a list of approved evidence-based screeners, working with CARI as required under the following section to approve professional development programs, identifying training for a literacy lead and a literacy specialist, employing a literacy specialist to provide support to districts implementing the READ Act, and developing a template for a local literacy plan. Section 6 on page 12 is the READ Act Implementation Partnership, and that's a partnership between the Department of Education and CARI, which is at the University of Minnesota, beginning July 1, 2023 until August 30th, 2025, to support implementation of the READ Act. And there's a list there of things that the partnership must do, including identifying literacy curricula and supporting materials that are evidence-based, identifying professional development programs, evidence-based literacy intervention materials, developing an evidence-based literacy lead training program, identifying measures of foundational literacy skill and mastery, providing guidance to districts about best practices in literacy instruction, developing MTSS model plans, ensuring teacher professional development options and MTSS framework trainings are geographically equitable. Subdivision 2 requires the partnership to have a process for districts to request reconsideration, to have a specific curriculum or professional development program be approved. Subdivision 3 requires the department and CARI to support district efforts to implement the READ Act in specified ways. Section 7 makes a conforming change since, again, 122A06 subdivision 4 is being repealed and adds requirements relating to phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary development, reading fluency, and reading comprehension. This, for context, is the statute. This is the section that applies to teacher preparation programs, preparing teachers to provide reading instruction. Section 8 is teacher renewal requirements. So again, that's just making a conforming change for this statute that's being, the subdivision that's being repealed. A similar change in Section 9, which applies to the Reading Corps program. Section 10 is the literacy incentive aid uses, and it says here what the eligible uses of literacy incentive aid. These include training, evidence-based, more evidence-based training, employing or contracting with a literacy lead, materials, training, and ongoing coaching, and the cost of substitute teachers to allow teachers to complete required training. Madam Chair, those are the policy sections of the amendment.
Thank you much, Ms. Parra, for that thorough review of the READ Act. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was very thorough, so I apologize if I missed this piece, but I think in previous versions of the bill, there was a requirement that somebody going to college to become a teacher, a part of their academic instruction would require instruction in evidence-based reading or structured literacy. Is that still included in this version of the READ Act? Does anybody know off the top?
Ms. Parra?
Madam Chair, Senator Duckworth, yes, that is in the bill. That's in Section 7, 122A092, applies to the teacher preparation programs.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other questions? Representative Clarity.
It's more of a comment than a question. I just am really excited about this. I've been a teacher for 27 years, and right now I'm a reading teacher specialist. I've also been an instructional coach. So this is right up in my alley, and I'm just like really happy that it's all evidence-based, that it's laid out in a way where it's explicit instruction. And I think our children will all achieve from this. And we have a lot of work to do as far as the achievement gap. So this program, congratulations to the author, Heather Edelson, Representative Ellison, and Senator McQuaid, on doing this. Thank you. So,
Senator Swadzinski.
Yeah. So I just want to follow up on Senator Duckworth's question. In Section 7, you suggested that higher ed institutions, would that be, like, say you were majoring in 7 through 12 social studies, would that individual have to go through a reading program?
Senator McQuaid, would you like to respond to that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Swadzinski, if you look at Part B there, so it's board-approved teacher preparation programs for teachers of elementary education, and that the structured literacy applies to that specific part of teacher prep programs.
Thank you, Senator Swadzinski. Follow-up.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So just to be clear, it's K through 3 future teachers only for now.
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it would be K through 5.
K through 5.
Or whatever elementary ed is considered in teacher prep programs.
Okay. So maybe someday we can get those 7 through 12 teachers brought up to speed as well, because I think it's important as well. Maybe not to the in-depthness for our K-5 population, but certainly to be to know when kids are struggling and how they can reach out and help them would be an added bonus to our 7 through 12 teachers as well. So thank you, everyone involved in bringing this to us today.
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll just add that because now districts will have literacy leads employed at the district level, they will be able to support all educators in the implementation of the READ Act, whether you are a 7th grade social studies teacher or a kindergarten teacher. So there will be supports for those teachers, regardless of whether they go through that teacher prep program with this in it now.
Excellent. Any other questions? Senator, Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 12, section 6, lines 12.16, 12.17, I think I'm pretty sure I understand the statement, but if someone could just walk me through exactly that. There's a a couple of turns and twists in that.
Senator Krisha, what is the question, please?
Just walk me through lines 12.16 and 12.17. Just I'm looking to see if there's a loophole there, and I don't think there is, but.
Ms. Pera?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Krisha. So these two lines require district to use an approved curriculum if the curriculum was purchased with state funds that require a curriculum to be selected from a list of approved curricula. There is also, though, another section in Section 5 that requires a district to use evidence-based curriculum and intervention materials at each grade.
Representative Krisha, follow-up.
Yep, thank you. So what I'm looking for is, why does the unless apply? I mean, what case would, or what situation would occur where a school district would purchase curriculum? Because they're always going to be using state funds, aren't they, unless it's a privately raised funds. I'm just looking at, what I'm trying to see is, could a district, if they didn't want to participate in this, could they raise their own funds, buy their own curriculum, which puts them at a disadvantage to what this program is trying to do?
Ms. Pera?
Madam Chair, Representative Krisha, if the state funds require the curricula that they're using, so not just general, their general fund, for example, they're using grants that require the curriculum to be from an approved, from a list of approved curricula, then the lines on 12.16 to 12.17 would apply. If they're using other funds, you know, from their general fund, then the curriculum provisions on page 10 would apply, where it wouldn't have to be approved curriculum. And approved means that list that Carrie and MDE come up with, but it would have to be evidence-based as defined in the READ Act.
Representative Krisha, do you mind if Senator Makewade also responds to that?
In a second, I'll just finish
okay.
Research.
Go ahead.
So as we're putting this together, I mean, one of the things that we're trying to get away, and I'm looking for the as you put the language together, is this creating a scenario where a school district could go around this program, or is this just the way this was written?
Ms. Pera.
Madam Chair, Representative Krisha, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay. That's fine. I think that I'll move on. The second one I have, and this is to whomever wants to do it.
Senator, Representative Krisha, do you mind if Senator Makewade?
That's okay. I'll just move on.
Okay.
So the next one is on lines 12.10. We do a partnership with the U, and I think that's great. I guess my question on that side is, what prevents them from? I mean, part of the reason we got into this situation is the very large influence from the very big curriculum companies that I think actually probably sold a bill of goods to things. What prevents them from being lobbied? Is there going to be any safeguards to prevent them from being lobbied or some type of special interests or favoring something that may not be as evidence-based as we'd like? Are those safeguards in place anywhere?
Senator Makewade?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Krisha, I'll answer your first question. On lines 12.16 and 12.17, some districts have already made the switch to structured literacy in their districts, and they've done so before this money is available. And there's a lot of curriculum that falls under evidence-based structured literacy, and so we didn't want to say that districts had to all of a sudden pick from the approved list when they've already made the switch to the great curriculum. Even though they can be reimbursed for that curriculum now. So we want it to be retroactive. So that's what that is. It's not to create a loophole, but it's to let districts know that if they've already made that switch, then they don't have to switch again because they've already done the right thing. To your second point or your second question about the department and Carrie, really what we know is that scientists and literacy scientists, people who study brains, are the ones that have been, sounding the alarm for a long time that we've been using methods that don't work. And so I would trust our, flagship institution and those within it who have been saying for a very long time that this is the brain science, this is where we're going, this is what we should be doing, to be not influenced by lobbying because they're scientists. And so I think that's why this partnership is really important. And there are other states who are actually partnering with our own center here as they make this switch over in their states as well. So I just, I'll separate out our flagship institution from kind of the publishers to be really focused on the science and focused on what works and not being lobbied about things that don't.
Representative Kreisha.
Nope, those are a couple of concerns I have. So I just clarifications, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Madam Chair.
Yep, Senator Maquaid.
Thank you. This has been one of the best things I think I've ever done in my entire life, with the exception of maybe like have my daughter. I am so, so proud of this bill. I cannot thank Representative Edelson and staff on both chambers for the incredible amount of work that they put in, as well as the stakeholders, the literacy groups that showed up here, you know, folks that are invested in this and the parents, and particularly teachers and districts who've reached out to say, like, hey, I made this switch in my classroom, and it has made the world of difference, or please help us because we want to make this switch, and we're providing the support and the funding to actually make this switch for districts who are going to be doing so, and that has been one of the biggest issues in other states where they said, hey, you got to use evidence-based structured literacy. Good luck buying your curriculum. And in Minnesota, we're saying, and here's the money to do so. And here we're going to help train all the teachers. And we're going to provide that support through the department and the regional centers. And so this is just, this is a tremendous, like, this is just a, like a groundbreaking moment. And I'm so, so proud of the work that has gone into it. And I am so excited that we're going to adopt this day, hopefully, and that this is going to become law and it's going to change kids' lives.
Thank you. Thank you for your good hard work. The next thing I think we'll do is ask Ms. Holford to walk through the spreadsheet. It's short and sweet, so it should take us about a minute or two. And so, Ms. Holford, if you would like to share the spreadsheet for the READ Act.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Jenna Holfer. I'm the fiscal analyst for the Senate Education Committee. In your packets today, you have a spreadsheet. In the upper right-hand corner, it is time-stamped at 1:41 p.m. today. In the upper left-hand corner, the top line is 2023 Legislature, K-12 Education Finance, the READ Act. I'll just briefly orient you to the spreadsheet. This should look familiar to most of you. In the first two columns, you'll see the line number as well as the name of the appropriation. Columns A and B show the original House position entering the conference committee. Columns C and D show the original Senate position entering the conference committee. And columns E through J show the proposed conference committee agreement as it's found in Article 3 here. So beginning on line 4, there's an appropriation to carry at the University of Minnesota. This appropriation is available until June 30th, 2026. It's a one-time appropriation of $4.2 million in fiscal year 2024. On line 5 is an appropriation for curriculum and instructional materials. This appropriation is available until June 30th, 2028. It's in the amount of $35 million in fiscal year 2024 only. On line 6 is an appropriation to the Department of Education for a literacy specialist at the department. This is in the amount of $500,000 per biennium. On line 7 is an appropriation for professional development, and this appropriation is available through June 30th of 2028. This appropriation is in the amount of $34.95 million in fiscal year 2024, and that's the part that's available through 2028. Then in fiscal year 2026 and later, the appropriation is $7.75 million or $15.5 million per biennium. And of the amount of funding for professional development on line 7, lines 8, 9, and 10 show how that would be distributed under the READ Act. So on line 8 would be an appropriation to the Department of Education for assistance in administering the professional development funding. This is a one-time appropriation of $250,000 in fiscal year 2024. On line 9 would be funding for the Department of Education and the service cooperatives to host regional literacy networks. This would be $18 million in fiscal year 2024. Then beginning in fiscal year 2026 and later, this is $6.5 million or $13 million per biennium. On line 10 is funding for statewide training. In fiscal year 2024, this is $16.7 million. Then beginning in fiscal year 2026, it's $1.25 million per year, or $2.5 million per biennium. On line 12 is the subtotal for the READ Act. And in the first biennium, the subtotal is $74.65 million. The second biennium, the subtotal is $16 million. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. Are there any questions on the spreadsheet? I know there's a lot of complexity in there, but all right. Well, seeing no questions on that, I would just like to show a moment of appreciation and give our House author a moment. And I'm wondering if Representative Edelson would like to come up to the table and perhaps give us your thoughts on the READ Act.
Well, hi, everyone. Heather Edelson. I represent Edina and a portion of Bloomington. Thank you, Madam Chairs, for having me. I want to give a huge shout out to my author in the Senate, Senator Mae Quaid, who has been such a fierce champion. And just, it's been a great collaboration. But for those of you, everybody else that has worked on the READ Act, if you could just raise your hand briefly. There's a lot of you that over there, you don't want to raise their hand because they're people that we don't thank typically. And Tim and Christina are House research staff, superintendents, teachers, just like Senator Mae Quaid had talked about. Matt Schaefer, Scott Krumquist, Valerie Dosland, Caitlin, Adosh, Bobby from the governor's office. This really has been a huge collaboration. And I just want to say, for me, this has been very personal. I talk about how I was held back in third grade because I couldn't read. And when we talk about this from the dyslexia term, we expanded it. Because it's not only kids with dyslexia that can't read, it's kids across the spectrum. And those kids, like when I was in third grade, we thought we weren't smart. And that's just not true. And so I want to thank all of you. I do hope that you take the READ Act as your own as well. And I think it's a big moment for Minnesota. So thank you all for your support.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. I think this piece of legislation is really going to be one of those game-changing opportunities to really make a difference. We know that our kids have had a really hard struggle, especially those that have unique reading challenges. And with this focus on literacy and making sure that these are science-based programs that we're using across the state, I hope to see those scores go up. And I'm not just talking about scores, but when we read to learn. And it doesn't matter if we're reading a textbook, if we're reading a report, whether we're reading for enjoyment, but the act of reading is so vital. And in this day and age of technology and the ability to watch a video or listen to somebody tell you the information that you're seeking, there's a lost art of reading. And it's really, really my hope that one of the outcomes of this READ Act will be that renewal or the rediscovering of the joy of reading, reading for recreation, reading to learn, reading to each other, reading to share what you just read because it was such a great book or something like that. And this comes from a library media specialist of 20 years. And there is so much to be learned and so much to share when we have that ability to read and we're not leaving kids back or we're not keeping people out of the opportunity for the chance of learning something new about somewhere else or someone else or a new theory or whatever the case may be. And so, yes, big, big thank you to Representative Edelson, who has spent a couple of years on this, and Senator Mae Quaid, who caught up awfully quick in just a few months on this, and just a really great program here, and I can't wait to see the positive results coming forward. So unless anybody, Chair Joachim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before we adopt
the amendment to that article and then adopt the article. I just wanted to also say thank you to Representative Edelson for being such a champion and Senator McQuaid for joining with. You guys are a dynamic duo, and what you're doing here will create a legacy for our kids into the future. So thank you.
All right. With that, Senator McQuaid, would you please move to adopt Article 3? So let's do the amendment. So we are looking at the A23 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment is accepted. All right. Now, Senator McQuaid, if you'd like to move to adopt Article 3, the READ Act, as amended by the A23 amendment for our committee report.
So moved, Madam Chair.
So that has, so all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The A23 amendment, the Article 3 as amended has passed. With that, I believe we are done with the work. Oh, Senator Duckworth.
Just a quick question for you, Madam Chair. I did have a member of the public reach out and ask if at any time there would be a possibility for public comment as a part of this conference committee and or the ability to submit thoughts or feedback that would get posted online. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Duckworth. We are accepting written comments for sure, but we haven't opened it up to public comment, mostly because we are in such a time crunch, and we're all kind of, it's been through committee, it's been vetted, so we're ready to move it on. But we will take written statements for sure. All right. With that in mind, everybody, we are amended. Pardon? Oh, we are in recess, just in case. All right.